Okay, no endo reduplication in my talk, so. Okay. All right, initially it was not part of this workshop, but then they asked me to, so we do have some molecular work. We still have a lot more data to go through, so I'll show you some of the preliminary molecular data in this talk. For peach, as for any fruit grower, we need size, and you can see the larger the fruit, the less you need to fill a box, and also the higher price you get. So to get that size, obviously we look at genetics and we look at thinning. With peach, there's maybe for other stone fruit too, there are three times that we can thin. Pre-bloom, we've done that, and it does give you a nice increase in fruit size, but it's very inconsistent, very hard to do. So we have the other options, which are either bloom thin or the traditional fruitlet thinning. Fruitlet thinning is the conservative approach because you know what you have, and you can do it by hand or mechanical. But bloom thinning has now become a major consideration due to the market. And so we're going to, our question is why or what happens when we're bloom thinning. We do know we get larger fruit, but there's other things going on. Todd alluded to some of this here, but for peach, we know there's cell activity the month before anthesis or before the flowers come out. But once again, we don't thin during that time because we don't really have a consistent way to thin. If we thin right prior to stage two, we know we lose some potential growth. So we know that first 30 days after bloom, work has been done by a number of people. We know that that's the relative growth rate of peach is really controlled largely during that first 30 days, and it's controlled by both genetics and environment. We looked at both in this study, but I no way do I have enough time to cover the environment, the effect of temperature, but I will show the effect of crop load. Of course, when we bloom thin, each of these nodes would have one or two or even three flowers. When we reduce that, we are obviously reducing the competitive sinks for the stored carbohydrates. Peach use stored carbohydrates the first 30 to 45 days after bloom. So obviously there should be a source limitation that would affect the relative growth rate of peach. This is nothing new. We've done a lot of work. We're varieties that need to have a certain size, in this case 7 centimeters. When we bloom thin versus traditional blooming or hand fruitlet thinning, we often obviously get the size we need, and we can sell the larger fruit. So we know early thinning is very important. We're just not sure whether it's source limited, or we're not sure what the reason for that is. So I guess the one hypothesis that's been put out there is, of course, the more flowers that bloom, the more negative the effect on the rate of growth or cell division within each pollinated fruitlet due to competition for resources. And that seems obvious, but we're not sure until we look at that. And this fruitlet competition is often compounded by temperature, and as has been shown, very warm temperatures are really a negative effect for potential fruit size in peach. And we did look at that in this study, but I'm not going to talk about it at all. There's a lot of materials and methods. The main point I want to make is we did this over 2 years, this year and last year. I'm only going to present last year's data because that's what we have the molecular data for. We looked initially last year for cultivars, Carol Red, which is very early, mid-May, all the way to Scarlet Prince, which is early July. They sequentially ripen from that period of time. We sampled every 5 days. From week 3 to week 5 post-bloom. In 2014, we had this set up and we had a freeze, so I had to move to another location. So we thinned around petal fall, which is about 7 days, 10 days later than we wanted to. So we still continued with the study even though we thinned it later than we wanted to. The dates we thinned for 2014, as you see, is March 31st, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. All the data I'm going to show is before the fruitlet thinning occurred, which occurred in late April. So essentially we're going to have a control where no thinning was done until after all the sampling was done, and the other where we had thinning done after petal fall. And we had, you can see, we try to be consistent. We always sampled from all four quadrants of the tree, from the same distance from the ground, from the same mid-shoot of the shoots. So we try to minimize variability of the size of the fruit when we are sampling. And you can see the different how we analyzed. We did a little different than Todd as far as we actually did do the histology and measured the cells. And we had software to give us an idea of what we had for volume. And we also took samples for the RNA work that was done later. For 2014, these are the bloom dates. Once again, Carol Red will bloom earlier than the two early varieties were Carol Red and Summer Prince, and then we had more mid-season in Scarlet Prince and Red Haven. And there was a difference in bloom time, so the thin dates were a little bit, only a day different for them. But within 5 days after thinning, we started seeing fruit sizes showing up too well there. I had a graduate student from Brazil do this, and these are his pictures here, so I would organize them a little bit better. But the point is, after 20 days, you can see the differences in from that changes in the time we thinned obviously gave us different fruit size. So we knew, which we know, that's what we expected. Okay, looking at the histology work, we measured the epidermal, what we consider the epidermal layer, the mesocarp layer, we have the stone, the width, and then also the seed. So all the areas were computed for this, but we were looking in the mesocarp is where we are looking at the cells, because that's the flesh. For each particular fruitlet, we sampled all four sides of the fruitlet in the mesocarp area. We tried to avoid the as much vascular tissue as possible. We would then circle a region, and then we'd count the cells, and then the computer program did the area and all the measurements for us. Okay, data. I'm only going to show you the data for the earliest variety, Carol Red, and the data for the Scarlet Prince, which is the latest variety, primarily because that's what all we have the molecular work done with those right now. We still have the others, and then we repeated this year with 6 varieties, including these. So we have a lot more data on the molecular level to look at, so what I'm going to show you is very preliminary. As far as the histology work, within 5 days after thinning, the blue, once again, I guess it's showing up, the blue line were the trees that were thinned around petal fall, and then the orange line were the trees that had not been thinned during the sampling time. They were thinned late April. But initially, for Carol Red, we saw a difference 5 days after thinning as far as a number of cells. It was significant on 3 of the 4 sample dates, not on this one. But once again, you can see there's a significant difference in the number of cells due to that one treatment. If we look at Scarlet Prince, once again, we had differences, but we didn't have significant differences until the 3rd and 4th sampling, where we started to see a significant difference in the number of cells for the thinning treatment. And 17% more cells is very significant. Let me get down to that. Okay, if we looked at the 4 varieties and looked at the number of cells, this top graph or table is the control at each of the 4 sample dates. This is the number of cells in a cross section that was measured. And for each treatment date, there were 64 sections looked at. We had so there was a lot. This is an average of a lot of different sections for each of these numbers. If we look at the bottom table here, this is for the thin trees. And two points I want to make. First of all, for the number of cells, the mid-season varieties were the same as the early varieties through the first 10 days, but after that, they started to overtake the number of cells, at least have more cells than the early varieties. And I point that out is because when I show you the genetic data, you'll see when these certain genes were upregulated, and it corresponds to this. But if you look at the other thing on this particular slide, the treated or the early thin varieties had this percent increase in cells on 20 days after bloom. So the early thinning increased the number of cells. And once again, increase of 8 to 19% is a very significant increase in the number of cells. And once again, our treatment was applied 7 to 10 days later than we should have. So if we would have done it earlier, we might have had even more interesting results. Okay, next thing was, what about cell size? We think cell division would be increased if we reduce the carbohydrate, or if we adjust the crop load where there's more carbohydrates available. But cell size, that's regulated by other genes. Well, we looked at that, and for Carol Red, the early variety, we saw significant difference in size 5 days after we did this, which was surprising. It wasn't significant, though, 10 days, but once again, you can see the difference in cell size was tremendous by just doing that one treatment. if we look at, well, I'll show you a sample. This is the fourth sample date. You see some large sales, but you know, it's hard to tell, but obviously this work was done with the software, but there are more larger sales in the petafall or the early thinning trees or fruit on those trees. Okay, if we look at Scarlet Prince, which is the latest variety in the trial, we see no difference in cell size until the fourth sample date, which is not significant, but it starts showing an increase in the number of cells. So again, this ripened 6 weeks after Carol Red, so this is a genetically programmed, obviously. The cell size is obviously controlled genetically, and this particular variety doesn't really start taking off. Even though in these two sample dates they had more cells, they still had not started to enlarge or show a difference due to the treatment. But it starts to indicate that, like Carol Red, that the early thinning does have an effect on eventually on cell size, and so there is some component to cell size increasing with early thinning. So again, at the fourth sample date, you can't really see a few more larger cells in the Scarlet Prince, and at that point it wasn't significant yet, but we were seeing larger cells. But the first three sample dates, we saw no difference in cell size for the late variety. Okay, all right, cell size differences. Okay, if we look at, in this particular experiment, Scarlet Prince had the longest fruit development period, and Carol Red, you know, has the shortest. If we looked at the control trees, Carol Red had the largest fruit or cell size on the fourth sample date, and so was it sort of made sense. Also, Summer Prince is the very early ripening variety, and then the mid-season varieties had smaller cells. But once again, from April 14th on, these two mid-season varieties had a lot more cells, but they of course the cells were still smaller on average. If we look at cell size as far as the thin varieties versus the unthinned up on top, once again we had increase in cell size. Once again, that early effect of early thinning does affect cell size as well as cell division. That's, I guess, the take home on that. Okay, so we want to look at expression level analysis of selected genes. There's a lot of genes involved, at least in stone fruit. There's at least 29, right, Ksenia? So we couldn't do all 29. We picked out five, and these were the five we looked at. And the three I'm going to talk about are the first three here, the fruit weight gene, the cell number, and the fleshy fruit. The other two, we had mixed results, but I'm not going to talk about those. Okay, we look at cell number regulator. If we look in the leaf for both Carol Red and Scarlet Prince, the early variety and the late variety, we didn't see any significant difference. There was a lot of variability on this first sample. Well, the first sample date, there was no differences at all. So you're only going to see the second, third, and fourth sample dates in all these graphs or figures. So in the leaf, we didn't see anything of importance. But if we got to looking at as far as the fruit, we did see some differences. Remember, Carol Red blooms earlier, and so then Scarlet Prince. And what we saw significant differences for Scarlet Prince were the cropalote or the treated trees actually upregulated this gene significantly higher, twofold higher than the control on the third and fourth sampling dates. And these are the two sampling dates where we started to see an increased number of cells in Scarlet Prince and Red Haven versus the two early varieties. So that makes sense. These varieties are starting to kick in. They're starting to produce more cells. And obviously, even though this is 20 days after the thinning, 15 to 20 days after the thinning was done, it still there was an effect from that time to cause a much higher upregulation of the cell regulator genes in the Scarlet Prince. We didn't see this in Carol Red. We saw it, you know, 10 days after. But remember, Carol Red bloomed earlier. If we would have moved our treatment to when we wanted to, 7-10 days earlier, we might have seen this effect for Carol Red. So essentially, Carol Red was a little bit further along in its natural sequence in fruit development phase one that we only saw the effect for at this date. That's speculating. We don't know until we look at more. But we have a lot more data to go through, and we have this year's data to go through also. Okay, fruit weight gene, we're hoping to see something there. And in the leaf, once again, very variable, nothing really made sense. We did see though a trend, once again, with the scarlet prints towards the latter half of the sampling dates, that we were getting upregulation for fruit weight gene, and possibly, and unfortunately there's a little bit of variability in here. The person, Dr. Fang, that did this work, he's out lost out west right now. We can't find him, so I couldn't clarify this, but there's possibly something going on with that, but I can't say for sure till we look at more data. If we looked at the fruit expansion gene, we did see, once again, not much in the leaf, but in the fruit, the scarlet prints, once again, significant at all three stages. We didn't really see it at Carol Red, so I'm not sure, but once again, this was occurring about 6 weeks before scarlet prints ripens. Carol Red, you know, we're already within 3 or 4 weeks of ripening of Carol Red, so possibly earlier on, if we did the experiment earlier, we might have seen something. But we did see significant differences. Once again, right around that cell division increased the number of cells in scarlet prints fruit, we saw a much higher upregulation of this cell expansion gene at those two dates. Okay. Well, conclusion, the cell division we found was affected within 4 days by crop load. I mean, that's with the Carol Red especially. I mean, it was very quick. After 14 days, the early thin trees had 18% increase in cell numbers, which is a very significant amount. What's surprising, I guess, a little bit to me, was cell size was affected too, especially for the Carol Red, as soon as, once again, 4 days after early thinning. And for the later cultivars, it took a little bit later, maybe 14 days or so. But significant cell size differences were occurring, and for the ripening cultivars, and for all cultivars, they did, cell size was increased by the early thinning. So it's something I guess we weren't quite expecting that, but that's what the data showed. As far as expression levels for the cell number regulator gene 12 and the TAGL1 gene, we did see differences primarily with the scarlet prints trees, and they were affected by the thinning, as well as it was only in the fruit. The leaves, we didn't see anything that showed any particular trend. And then expression level for all five genes, as I mentioned, leaf tissue did not show significant differences. We saw something with the SIM gene and leaf tissue, but once again, we won't go over that. We have a lot more data to go through, and maybe it'll change what we're seeing, maybe it won't. But the one take home, I believe, is we really do have, there's a source limitation. And by boom thinning, you're allocating more reserves to the fruit that you leave on there, and it only gives you higher cell division, and it also gives you larger cells. Nancy Korn with our histology, she helped us a lot. Biff Hopkins at the farm, and that's that. Thank you. Yes, Esty.
Great. For the early varieties, temperature, especially high temperature, would it make any difference in terms of how many days the cell division
will continue? I understand the question. You wanted for early varieties, if temperature would affect the number of days you need. I didn't want to get into the hypothesis, but essentially, temperature affects both, whether it's the early variety or a late variety, and you lose it. I mean, if it's warm, I have a lot of data showing the growing degree days, the first 30 days, really indicates your potential size. And if it's very warm and you don't reduce that crop load right away, you lose potential size, no matter how much water or nutrition you add later on. So whether it's the early varieties have a shorter fruit development period, so they can be affected more. That's true. And that's why almost all early varieties we bloom thin no matter what. Yes. You repeat the question. I didn't catch everything.
What she's asking is that SMB2.2 and the cell number regulator genes are actually negative regulators of cell production.
I don't know. Senya could probably.
There's your answer.
Thanks, Jake.